And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Over the next hour, we'll tell you about the 10 things you need to know as the Giants get ready to take on the Carolina Panthers. Some of the things we'll be focusing in on. Paul Dottino will take you inside the Giants locker room for the latest information on the Big Blue. In our player spotlight, we'll talk with Cullen Jenkins in studio, and we'll give you an inside peek into the defensive linemen and the competition that exists between all the players in that room. Also on the show, we'll have a little fun with the Blitz, a couple of famous North Carolina athletes. Who is the greatest of all time? We'll tell you about that. And in our online segment, we'll be joined by Om Yongmigsook of ESPN New York and Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, and Pat Hannon will debate some key issues. I'd like to welcome in my co-host for this show once again. He's a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Harry Carson. Harry, how are you? Looking fine with that.
Well, thank you, Bob. I really appreciate the compliment.
Harry is all dressed and ready to go. Carl Banks, two-time Super Bowl champion. Carl, it's that time of year now. You got to get the engine fired up.
Yeah, I got to get the engine fired. You don't like my tie?
No, your ties. Well, your ties are always great.
Tie game.
Let's break the tie with Roman Oben, who's got a very nice tie on as well.
Burberry.
The Giants this is the bounce back. The bounce back tie. You got to bounce back this week.
The Giants don't need a tie. They need a win.
Yes.
The last thing they need is a tie. All right. So it's time for our segment that we call No Huddle. I'm going to put 25 seconds on the clock, and you each have 25 seconds to kind of talk about a topic. Harry, I'm going to start with you. Speaking of the clock, you say the Giants need to reset the clock.
Yeah, they really do. You know, I came in here last week, and I thought, yeah, they lost to the Dallas Cowboys, nothing to worry about. Everything's correctable. Believe me, after watching the game on Sunday, there's some things to be worried about. They can't run the ball. They can't stop the run. And they're having problems on special teams. So they really need to reset the clock, go back to basics, and come back out next week against the Carolina Panthers.
Oh,
I hear the buzz.
And we just started with a penalty already. We have an illegal procedure on the Hall of Fame. All right, Carl Banks, it's your turn. Must win. Everybody's talking about must win.
It is. I think from a mentality standpoint, it's a must win. They've got to approach this game as if they've got to do everything right. Just like Harry said, there's a multitude of problems, but when you go back to the basic fundamentals, you can see where lack of fundamentals get them in the trouble that they're in. So it has to be a must-win mentality, afraid to make a mistake, and go out and let the game happen.
Ooh, just got it in. All right, Roman, 25 seconds on the clock for you.
He won't make it.
No, he won't. Execution is very important.
Yeah, and guys, look, we've all been at practice. We watch them outside. They execute well during the week. They know what to do. There's a familiarity with the offense, the defense. But on Sundays, it's not transferring. So you've got to execute on Sundays. This is a must win, like you said, Carl, but it starts with execution offensively, defensively, and special teams.
Wow, under the clock.
I'm impressed.
And they need to start fast, too. You know, go out and be assertive in some of these games. Take control of the game. Say, we're the New York Giants. We've won two Super Bowls. You deal with us as opposed to being reactionary.
You're absolutely right.
All right, so it's time to put item number one up. And, of course, item number one is always the head coach of the New York Giants, who talked about the Big Blue running game this week.
You have to knock a hole in the defensive front. You have to break an arm tackle, which very few have we. So you have a lot of things. You got to block downfield. Your receivers got to get their faces in front of somebody downfield and push toward the opponent's goal line. 19 rushes for 23 yards. I hope we can do a little better than that.
We're just not as in sync right now as we need to be, you know, between all the different positions up front. And you have a new running back who's struggling on some of his reads as well. So, I mean, it's a combination, as it always is. It's never just one thing. But it's not good enough, obviously.
All right, well, Giants head coach Tom Coughlin kind of summed it up pretty well right there, guys. 19 rushes, 23 yards. The Giants are dead last in the NFL in rushing. Roman, I'll start with you. What do you see as an offensive lineman that's wrong with this running game right now?
Well, I think, first of all, a running game is predicated on your center and two guards really being the focal point. That's your strength. David Boss came back after being limited, you know, last week in practice. So he's getting better each week. He's not quite where he was at his best last year. Booth goes to left guard. right guard Snee, you know, with the hip. You know, he doesn't seem like he's 100%. And you look at some of those runs, at every single turn, there's one guy getting beat. There's one penetration here. Something prevents the back. So it's always one thing on every run. All five of the guys aren't doing their job every single play.
It's so well spoken, because you cut on the film, four out of five guys, perfect block. Even if it's the fifth guy on the backside of the play, his guy makes the play. Or if it's six guys involved, all five linemen, and then a tight end misses a block or something. So it really does come down to the execution.
I think that this thing transfers over to the defense as well, because defensively, those guys up front, they're not really getting the job done. They're not necessarily competing against the offense in games, but in practice, they're competing against the offense. And I think if you don't have a very good offensive line, you're not going to have a very good defensive line. And I think that's what we're seeing now with the Giants. They're not getting the push that they need on the defensive line, but the offensive line is not necessarily opening the holes for the running backs.
The other problem, too, maybe is they don't hit at all. And they never hit in practice.
Well,
now either.
I think that's something that we need to debate at some point.
Yeah, everything is new, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you walk through, and then the tempo goes up, and you have no idea what the guy on the other side of the bar, what his tempo is going to be when the gun fires.
But the thing is, all 32 teams in the NFL have to deal with these.
Some are doing it better than others.
Yeah, exactly, clearly.
All right, what we're going to do is take a timeout. When we come back, though, unfortunately for Giants players, but good for you Giants fans, we sent Paul Dottino into the locker room to talk with Giants players. We'll tell you about it as we return to Giants First and 10 here on MSG after this.
There's no panic. Obviously, we know we got to get going. We got to start playing better football, now. And so we've dug ourselves into a small hole. But there's 14 games left. It's a long season. We're still right in the mix in our division. And we just got to get back to playing. Just worry about playing better football than what we are right now.
And we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Giants quarterback Eli Manning, counting the postseason, has played six games against the Carolina Panthers. He is 4-2, including a win last year in Carolina. So time for item number two. It's the locker room, and that means we welcome in the one, the only, Paul Dottino. Paul, talk a little bit about this vibe in the locker room with this Giant passing game and Eli Manning and all these turnovers.
Yeah, well, Bob, clearly it's been really sloppy. Obviously, the seven picks by Eli, not good at all, but the Giants are still throwing the ball pretty well. They're getting a yard of yards out of Nicks and Cruz. They're both averaging over 18 yards a catch. And Carolina, by the way, has given up more than 600 yards through the air in their games against Seattle and Buffalo. And with a banged-up secondary like the Panthers have this weekend, the Giants receivers ought to be able to give them some of the business.
I think they mix it up. I think they do a bunch of different things to try to keep us off balance so we don't get a beat on what they do. So I think we're going to get the full gamut. We're going to get every coverage they got, and I think it should be a good test for us just to be able to read it out, read everything that's coming at us, and be able to adjust and make plays.
Honestly, I think we could still improve in the passing game. It's still little things as far as detail-wise that we could be doing better. And I think that's what we're going to strive for. And we're going to turn it around and try to just keep getting better each week.
Would it be the deep ball? You haven't seen enough deep balls? Is that what you're talking about?
It could be a little bit of anything. It might be a detail in a route, in the way we're running some routes. It could be the deep ball. It could be anything in a passing game. But, our job is to make plays when the ball is thrown to us, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, speaking of the deep ball, Akeem Nicks last season had only three catches of 30 or more yards. He's already got two this year. He's going back home. He's got to be stoked because he missed the game there last year. And, I mean, the Giants are a big chunk offense. Just look at their first play last week. Do they really feel like they can hit a lot of shots over the top?
Yeah, they do, Bob. You spoke about Nicks, though, a second ago. He's got two dozen family and friends coming to this game. He wants to put up some big numbers against the Panthers. I think the other interesting part about this is that the Panthers secondary, as badly beaten up as it is, and you guys can talk to this, I'm told that usually in that situation, the defensive coordinator will play more zone and be more passive because they're trying to cover up the guys who are trying to make plays back there.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that'll cover it up also is a good pass rush. And the Giants can expect to see some pressure because they don't want Eli to sit back there and hit them with those big chunk plays. But the counter to that, they won't have success with the big things unless they take care of the little things. And I know there will be opportunities, but there will be better opportunities if they can get some legitimate play action looks.
Yeah, and if you look at the injuries that the Carolina Panthers secondary has, you know, MCL, concussion, quad, high ankle sprain. I mean, you're taking a practice squad player, I believe, that's going to start at safety this year, and you lose Charles Godfrey for the year last season. So there should be some favorable matchups, but as Carl said, you've got to take care of little things, the running game, you know, a threat of a running game at least, and then some of those home runs will hit.
Yeah, because tip balls can happen in those cases. But if you can run the football and you got inexperienced defensive backs, boy, you get them into a guessing game, it becomes pitch and catch.
All right, we heard from the Giants quarterback. Now let's listen in from the Panthers quarterback, Cam Newton.
We understand that we have a challenge coming up with a very dominant, couple of dominant guys that's on their defense with Entrell Rowe, you know, JPP and Tuck and those guys. But, you know, it's still we have to bring our lunch pail and each and every day to get better and execute come Sunday.
Cam Newton threw 3 interceptions, no touchdowns last year against the Giants. And this year, Cam Newton has attempted 10 passes of 20 or more yards, and he only has 2 completions. So it is time to put our next item up on the board, item number 3. And, Paul, you had a chance to go into the Giants locker room and talk with a couple of Giants defensive players about dealing with Cam Newton.
Yeah, it seems to me that their feedback was Cam is throwing a lot more short and medium range stuff. As Bob said, not really getting a lot of completions deep. That's the design of their offense. They have decided to revamp things because Newton had a very difficult time last year getting things done. And so the Giants are telling me that he's going to move the pocket, he's going to throw on the run, but again, it's still about his arm strength on those short throws.
A lot of teams like to play 2-man on him, and that allows the defenders to turn their back on him, and he can hit you for like a 15-30-yard run. So he's definitely looking to pass first, but if it's not open, he can always depend on those legs.
Safe passes, secure passes, high percentage passes. So for the most part, it's between the linebackers and the safeties that are coming down that we have to plaster the receivers and the running backs getting out even faster.
All right, so you heard from a couple of the Giants here, guys. So what about dealing with Cam Newton and the fact that he's got great arm strength?
Well, they want to move the ball. They want to move him a little bit, but don't discount his ability to throw the ball deep. He didn't get a lot of them last year because they didn't have a lot of guys healthy, but still has Steve Smith out there, and they will find a way to try to get him the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Steve Smith. He doesn't have that top-end speed, but now they move them in the slot this year to try to make him more effective on the inside. And offensive coordinator Mike Shula for the Panthers, he simplified things a little bit for Cam Newton, who had a great rookie year, struggled a little bit last year. So he's tried to simplify things a little bit so he can be more effective.
And talk about simplification, Bob. He's only thrown 1 pick in 61 attempts. That's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, it is pretty good. And the Giants going to have to do what they did last year, kind of keep him contained, not let him get running around, not let him make a lot of broken plays, which could break your back. Yeah. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, let's take a look at the Giants' defensive linemen, the defensive tackles specifically, and joining us in studio, Colin Jenkins, as we continue with Giants' first and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. On Sunday, it's the Giants and Panthers in Carolina. I'll try to tell you about the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and their upcoming game. Item number 4 comes up, our player spotlight. And we sent our own Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room to talk with the Giants interior defensive lineman.
Hello, everybody. Is that good enough? We cool now?
Doing.
That was good play by the defensive line again.
You know, it's funny. These two guys, part of what makes up right now a very good Giants defensive tackle unit. And I guess, Sean, first thing I want to ask you, you know, you're coming from the outside looking in. What makes the chemistry work with all of you guys together so well?
I just think the talent. And when you get a lot of talent together, it just has a good chance to gel. And we all feed off each other. We all got great senses of humor. and just in our room, you know, we joke and play with each other, which creates a cohesiveness on the field.
Everybody brings something to the table. It's not one guy. You can't single one of us out. That's the thing about it. I just think it's a communication between us. You know, it's a lot of experience up there, and we're able to talk about things that we get in, especially in games. You know, everything just worked out so well with us. You know, we're able to come on the sideline, hey, this is a look I got, and they'll come. You know, when we switch in and out, we just know how to communicate with each other.
Hand off ball, runs right, fumbles the ball, recovered by Mundy, and the Giants have it in the end zone for a touchback. Bella Jenkins popped it out. Play fake, rumble back, feels pressure. He's sacked by Tuck and Joseph at the 26-yard line.
Limbaugh, are you surprised it came together so quickly? Obviously, the chemistry's good, but it happened almost overnight for you guys, didn't it?
I mean, it did, and I'm glad it did. And we have a lot of guys in this room, a couple vets, and they're helping us, and right now we're doing pretty good.
We're happy, but we're not satisfied. There's always room for improvement. You know, we still have a few explosive runs we can stop. The goal is not to have any, so at the end of the day, we got to keep the guys out of the end zone on their feet. We got to try to force them to get in there on the air. So we still have some work to do. You know, we're happy with our progress, but at the end of the day, we still have room to grow.
How much would you love to have seen Paul DeTino with a football and Linval Joseph and Sean Rogers just crush him? Joining us, one of the members of the defensive tackle group, is Cullen Jenkins in his first year with the Giants. And Cullen, welcome to the show. And that is a pretty fun group that you have. You guys seem to feed off each other pretty well.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's coming into here, you know, one of your big concerns is always wondering how you're going to fit into a group. You know, coming in, will they accept you and not stepping on anybody's toes? But, you know, I think the group that we've got is great with a lot of, you know, experienced guys, and everybody just came together well.
You talk about the experience, and you're a veteran now in this league, but a lot of people didn't know you really did start from the bottom. You know, you were a practice squad guy who's really
undrafted, yeah.
Yeah, that really have come up through some championship teams and been a key contributor everywhere you've been.
Yeah, ever since I came in, you know, heck, I didn't even get practice squad my first year. I got released and, you know, sent home, and I was on the outside looking in that whole season. So, you know, I've always had a hard work attitude, you know, knowing I had to earn everything I've got since I've been in the league. And, you know, it makes you appreciate a lot more and never forget where you came from.
Yeah, a lot of people also know that you have a brother, Chris Jenkins, that played same position. I think you guys shared the same number for a while. What's it like, you know, having a brother in the league that plays the same position?
You know, at first it was cool, number one. You know, I'd always look up to him, and, you know, he motivated me a lot growing up. And, you know, it was a tough fight when I was younger, especially when I wasn't playing at first. You know, I used to always joke around that, you know, I was the other son because, you know, while my brother was playing and I wasn't, you know, everybody would be like, you know, is this the one that's playing football? And I'm like, nah, it's the other one. So, you know, it makes you appreciate it. I've always been trying to fight to get my own identity, you know, and not just be, you know, Chris's little brother.
7 years with Green Bay, last couple with Philadelphia. Obviously, this game on Sunday, you guys desperately need a win. What are some of the positives, though, that you've taken out of the first two games that you feel can get this thing turned around going to Carolina?
Well, number one is the attitude, you know, the way we're fighting out there. Obviously, we've got to do it better and longer through the course of the game, but, you know, we're starting out the game, you know, it's tough to speak for the offense because, you know, we're not in the same rooms with them and you don't really get to see what goes on, you know, in their meetings. But I know from a defensive standpoint, we're out there fighting hard. You know, we're out there clawing at it, you know, especially earlier in the games. And, you know, we've shown a lot of positives out there, you know, although there is a lot of room for improvement, and we're working on that.
Well, I know one of the areas that needed to improve coming from last year was that push on the interior line, and Coach Coughlin talks about the arc now. He says that arc now is facing back at the quarterback and not at the defense. And you guys, I mean, there have been times where you just literally put 350-pound men on roller skates right into the lap of the quarterback. That has to be quite a feeling when you guys get them moving like that.
It's pretty impressive to watch, you know, and coming in, being on the team. You know, a big question around me has always been, you know, am I just a pass rusher, D tackle? And, you know, I know myself and, you know, a lot of other guys, you know, since we're older, have a lot to prove up front. But, you know, I'm probably the you know, perceived as a weak link on the defensive line. But I tell you, in the plays that I'm out and I watch, you know, Linville, Mike, Sean, and them, you know, the way they can push the pocket and the way they can throw guys around up front is pretty impressive.
The weak link? You're the best guy all year.
Yeah. It's the little brother mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, you know, you played at Green Bay, you won a Super Bowl with them, played with the Eagles. I mean, what do you like the most about this community and this Giants organization?
Just expectations, probably, you know, coming in. There hasn't been any talk of anything less than trying to, you know, win and win a world championship. So, you know, when you come into that, you know, it's a different feel, a different sense, because you're not just coming in to try to, you know, win a couple games to make people happy. You know, there's a higher goal, and there's a goal that everybody is actually, you know, expecting to get to.
How did he wind up at Central Michigan and not Michigan State?
Or Eastern Michigan, which is right in his backyard, Ypsilanti, right?
Yeah.
So, again, they probably wanted his brother, and they forgot about him, right? Is that what it was?
You know, it's funny. I got overlooked, you know, by a lot of schools coming out. You know, I had a stubborn ankle injury my senior year, so kind of, you know, threw off all the big schools.
Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, thanks for having me.
Colin Jenkins joining us here on the program. Michael Jordan, Lawrence Taylor, both played at North Carolina. Who is the most dominant in their sport? We'll talk about it in the Blitz as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG as we continue to get you set for the Giants and the Carolina Panthers. So we're up to item number 5, and that means it's Blitz time. And we welcome in our Blitzer, Anita Marks.
I love it. I love it. I should be wearing like a zebra outfit or something like that, right?
No, you're blitzing, so you should have eye black on and ready to charge in and sack somebody.
Next week, I will wear that. Here we go. Here's number 1. The Giants, as we know, they're traveling to North Carolina to take on the Panthers. UNC, the alma mater of Hakeem Nicks, as well as the famous Lawrence Taylor, and the oh-so-famous NBA player Michael Jordan. So here's your question. Who was most dominant and feared in their profession, at their sport? LT or MJ, gentlemen? A minute on the clock. Go.
Banksy.
Most feared and
most
dominant.
Most feared.
Come on, guys. A minute.
Most feared, probably LT. Most dominant, Michael Jordan. Yeah. Period.
Yeah, MJ was the most feared competitor.
That's a cop-out answer.
But no one changed the game. No one changed the game like Lawrence Taylor. I mean, he's
really
growing up in Washington D.C. as a Redskins
really?
Fan. As
you Michael hated Jordan to see, revolutionized basketball.
You hated to see Joe Jacoby getting beat every week, and then the tight ends couldn't block him. Well, you love to see it, but
yeah, but just think of it this way: Lawrence Taylor is the reason why Roman made a lot of money as a tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they put the premium on. I guess LT would be more feared because he could actually hurt you. Jordan could break your heart, but Lawrence Taylor could physically hurt. Ask Ron Jaworski about that.
So and a few other people, too.
Yeah.
So you're riding the fence like Carl
fence.
Over here. It is.
The greatest is Michael Jordan.
I asked for one or the other. You guys are
okay, greatest Michael Jordan.
All right,
Michael
your minute Jordan. Is up. Here we go. On to number 2. Sunday, as we know, the Giants and the Panthers face off 2 first-round draft picks and their quarterbacks. Eli Manning, 2004, Cam Newton, 2011. As we know, both different styles of quarterback. Here's your question. How has the college game affected the NFL? How has it changed over the years? A minute on the clock. Discuss.
I'm going to let you two experts go with this.
Well, I think it's become a little more mobile. It's a little more sandlot, if you will, and which enables quarterbacks coming out of college that can move to play a little earlier. But I think the structure will still be what it has to be in order to run a team.
So the read option is not...
Yeah, well, it's there. It's going
to
be there.
I mean, that's what kind of Cam Newton...
Well, you still have to run the ball. You still have to run power. And the teams that win still do that. But where the college game affect the NFL game is it's become a matchup league. Can my third down back, can my Darren Sproles or my third receiver be better than your Will linebacker? And that's where that's where things are exploited.
And
so
read option is a very dangerous play for offensive coordinators when they lose their quarterback and he's still not the same a year later.
Isn't it interesting too, like Carl, when you played, when a guy got drafted, it was, well, it's going to take them a few years to learn the NFL game. Now the games are kind of merged a little bit.
It's Sandlot. Yeah.
I went over.
We have the buzz. Here we go. We're on to number three. That's right. Sorry, Bob. What were your impressions of both these players, Cam Newton and Eli Manning, coming out of college? As we know, Cam pretty much put on a show in his national championship against Oregon. Your thoughts on both these quarterbacks coming out of college?
Well, I think I remember coming out of college. I was actually playing for the Chargers, so I was looking forward to Eli Manning being my teammate, and that didn't happen. That didn't happen, but two different styles, two different types of quarterback, but it comes down to production. I mean, it's really, if you can produce with the integrity of what you've been asked to do.
Yeah, both guys are highly talented. Obviously, Cam got a lot more spotlight being years later, but both are pretty good quarterbacks now. Great talents is what they are.
Yeah, I think there was, because Eli wasn't on a great team his senior, so I don't think a lot of people knew about it. Cam was on a national championship team, how he wound up getting there, all the controversy leading up to it. So there was a lot more of that.
A year-long controversy with him, too.
And Eli was Peyton's brother coming into the NFL. And we knew that there were going to be three quarterbacks taken in the first round. We knew Rivers, Manning, and Roethlisberger. It was just a matter of where they kind of shook out. But Cam Newton definitely had the buzz coming in.
Fantastic. Great buzz.
There you go.
Or I'd say great blitz.
Listen, I got flagged for that one. It's on me. It's on me.
That's Anita. Do it. My bad.
My bad. That's Anita with the blitz. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the Giants' trip to Carolina last year and strategy with Carl Banks as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG after this. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. On Sunday, the Giants travel to Carolina to take on the Panthers. Time for item number six. For the second year in a row, the Giants are traveling down to the Queen City. Last year, on a short week, they made it look easy.
New York Giants football is on the air from Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's the New York Football Giants taking on the Carolina Panthers.
Came a long way. Still got a lot to go, though.
This the NFC East. We wild enough. This ain't that's what we gonna do tonight. We gonna bring these boys and go home 2-1. I'm tired of this
shit. You know,
this ain't been close to us last week. This shouldn't be close to us this week. Let's go ball our ass off and go back home.
G-Man on three. 1, 2, 3.
G-Man!
Manning in a shotgun set. Panthers bring pressure. Manning throws to the end zone. Touchdown, Giants. Martellus Bennett on the seam. And Bennett with the touchdown grab. And the Giants strike on their opening possession. Newton's going to run it. Newton's going to turn left. Hit by Pierre Paul and stop. No game. JPP says, you're down with me.
You close on the dive. Keep closing. Take him to the ground. Every time you close down
okay. No receivers in the game. Give for Brown. He runs left. Touchdown, Giants. Newton takes the snap, takes the handoff. He's back to throw. He's under pressure and he gets sacked. Back at the 45-yard line. O.C. Umanura joins the party. Giants show blitz with the linebackers, and here they come. Newton back to throw. Stands in the pocket. His pass through the foul. Intercepted off the deflection by the Giants. Picked off by Hosley. He gets back up and he's running to the 40, to the 35, and gets shouldered down there. The New York Giants improved to 2-1 as they dominate with a capital D, the Carolina Panthers. The final score here in Charlotte, the Giants 36 and the Panthers 7.
First thing I want to do is let's give a hand to the coaches. What a... That type of week, what an outstanding job the coaches did. Now how about a hand for the players? Yeah! Things are possible for those who believe. That's a great job, man. That's a good football team out there. That's a hell of a job. Let's have a team. 1, 2, 3.
Team!
All right, guys, so last year the Giants go down to Carolina and they run the ball effectively with Andre Brown. Ramses Barden has a big day. Is there something psychological that they could take with them this year in the fact that they've been down there and it's a comfortable environment?
I don't know if you have to. I don't know if you want to reflect too much on what happened last year. Where this team is right now is they're down by two games right now, you know, and everybody in the division lost this past weekend. The Giants need to win. They need to start winning games, get on the right track, and put some distance between them and the other teams in the NFC East. It really doesn't matter, you know, what happened last year. It's all about right now.
Well, I think the one thing they can take from last year is the focus that they went into that game with. They didn't make a lot of mistakes, and they forced a lot of errors from Carolina. So the focus factor, I think, is really key, especially with the state of this team.
Yeah, and they had so many injuries last year, Roman. Mm-hmm. This year, the Giants are about as healthy as they could possibly be going into week three of the season.
Yeah, the irony of last year's game is you come out of training camp, oh, this team was so deep. There's so much depth on this Giants team. Mm-hmm. This year, it's not a question of depth. It's really a question of execution again. So they've got to just make the plays that they're supposed to make. And honestly, a good team wins the game that they're supposed to win. And this is a game that the Giants should go into Carolina feeling like they should win this game.
36-7 was the final score last year in Carolina. Giants looking for their first win of the year this weekend against the Panthers. Well, let's take a look at some of the X's and O's as we dial up item number 7. It's strategy with Carl Banks.
Thanks, Bob. One of the areas that the Giants' offensive line has struggled with is making sure everyone has their blocking assignment and not turning someone loose. Here it is. The Carolina Panthers are all up in a gap defense here. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and a potential 7th. Now, as the offensive line, what you have to do is kind of block these things off and split them in half. And what needs to happen here, I'm going to run it, and I'm going to slow it down. I'll freeze it here. You've got this guy has his block, that guy's block, this guy's block, this guy's block. Guess who misses a block? Right there, and let's see who makes the tackle. The guy who misses his block. So when you have a formation and everyone's counting their men, it's not a matter of do you have your guy? It's a matter of are you going to block your guy? Here's your guy. He misses. Tackle for loss. Offensively, Carolina here is in a bunch formation, but you always have to be aware when there's a single wide receiver of some type of play action pass and them going deep or trying to get something across. So the guy that's key on this will be the middle linebacker, the backside of this play, because if anything comes shallow, he's the last guy standing back here. I'll run the play so that you can see. There's your play action. This guy's covered. Take a look here in the middle of the formation. There's a guy sneaking out. Linebacker is here. His coverage is here. So take a look. Guy's wide open. No one on the backside of it. Big play. So always be alert the backside of the defense of something leaking out.
And strategy was brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. A lot more to come here on Giants First and 10 on MSG when we come back. Pat Hanlon joins me. The reporters join us for Giants Online as we continue with Giants First and 10 after this.
We know we're in a tough situation. We know our backs are up against the wall, and we've talked about that. You know, it's tough to be 0-2. It's tough to be even worse. You know, so our goal, obviously, is focusing on what this next game is, and it's a very important game because it's the next one we play.
As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG, Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Both the Panthers and Giants come in 0-2. Time for our online segment. Welcome in the Senior Vice President of Communications, Pat Hanlon, and Sue Coates. Sukkot season, the harvest season.
Happy Sukkot.
Happy Sukkot.
He's a quick study.
You like that?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Well, the Giants are going to try to harvest a win this week. Let's go around the room. Om Youngmi Suk of ESPN New York. Om, is this the week they get this thing righted?
They have to. I mean, 0-3 hole would not be a good look. Not a good look at all.
Remember, the Redskins were 3-6 last year.
They
went on to win the division.
And the Redskins were the same team that let them off the hook when they were 0-2 and 0-7.
That is true. And Paul Schwartz of the New York Post with a little history. No more 0-7 talk.
No. Yeah. You know what? There's some of these players were in high school at 0-7. Most of them were in college. 07 is like ancient history to these guys.
It has no relevance.
New team.
All right, we're going to put
challenges.
That's right. Item number 8 goes up as we begin the conversation, and Om will start with you. David Wilson, obviously a rough start to the start of the season, but you think that David Wilson needs to take command, doesn't he?
It's time to unleash him. Look, a couple years ago, before Week 3 game at Philadelphia, the coaching staff had to trust Victor Cruz. They put him out there, and a salsa dancing star was born. Now I think it's time for Tom Coughlin to stop flipping out about the fumbles and worrying about the ball security. Let David Wilson run, and hopefully you'll have some end zone flips.
Oh, we ran the ball 19 times last week. David Wilson ran the ball 7 times. David Wilson had the second carried the ball in the second play of the game, and frankly, you could see that he took to the lessons the last week about, I saw flashes of Tiki Barber-like ball security
last
week.
Yeah, except Tiki Barber used to gain yards. When
Listen.
He gained 5 yards in the first carry.
Let me tell you something.
13 in the next 6.
He also was, and our players have talked all week long about being this close to getting on track. He almost got out of the pack a couple
7
times.
Carries is for a home run hitter, you can't just give him 7 at-bats. He's got to get more carries than
that. You can't, as a balanced offense, you can't only run the ball 19 times in a game. You have to prove that you can be effective running the ball.
Let's go to item number 9, and Paul, we're going to start.
We wrapped up 8?
Well, it's you know what?
It's open-ended?
8 and 9 are tied together.
Synergy.
Because, Paul, balance is something that you want to see as far as this offense is concerned.
Well, you know what? This week, I'm not sure if I want balance. Air the ball out. Everyone's talking, run the ball. They have to run it. You set up the run this week against the pass. The Panthers are decimated in the defensive backfield. Guys out for the season, guys hurting. 3 or 4 guys didn't even practice this week. They're not going to play. Kevin Gilbride wants to throw the ball. The Giants are at their best when Eli, Cruz, Nix are catching the ball, Reuben Randall. You throw the ball, you bring them in, and then you run. That's what you do. And
so much for balance.
What about Holmes? David Wilson? We got to unleash Wilson.
You unleash him after you establish the run, just like you did last year.
You made the pass.
With the pass, Ramsey's Barden last year dominated this team. It can happen again.
I'm confused. I don't know whether we're running it or throwing it.
Holm, are you feeling what he's selling?
Look, they are good when they throw the ball, but even better when they can use play action.
Last year, they did throw the ball very effectively in Carolina, which then led to the Andre Brown 113 yards.
And you know what I think they're going to do? What Kevin Gilbride's
film study.
Kevin Gilbride's favorite trick is they're going to spread him out and they're going to run out of the shotgun. That's the way to get David Wilson going, get him in a little more space, not pounding away like he's a big feature back.
And how fired up is Akeem Nix getting a chance to go?
Finally.
Last year he had 199 yards against Tampa, but he got hurt on that last catch, couldn't play on the short week. This is a guy that's got to be pretty pumped to go home.
He is. Last year he had his bag packed. He was getting ready to get on the bus, and they said, and he didn't. Yeah.
Last year he had 20 tickets for all his friends and family. They went to the game. He paid for the tickets. He stayed back in New Jersey. This year, 20 tickets, they'll be at the game, and he said this week, I'll be there too.
And just think what Ramsey's Barden did to that defense. Obviously, it's a different defense, but you think what Hakeem Nicks might be able to do in that defense.
When we come back, you want to find out what the keys are to the game? We're going to tell you about it here on Giants First and 10 on MSG.
It's all about pride. Are you ready?
Okay. You're the best guy all year.
And so
much for balance.
What about Holmes? David Wilson. We got to unleash Wilson.
You unleash him after you establish the run.
Come on, guys. A minute.
Most feared, probably LT. Most dominant, Michael Jordan. Yeah. Period.
Now the games are kind of merged a little bit.
It's Sandlot.
I went over. My bad. And that was the Geico Show recap brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com. All right, it's time for item number 10 on the program. It's the keys to the game as the Giants get set to take on the Carolina Panthers. And guys, Giants head coach Tom Coughlin, a very heavy heart this week, losing his brother on Monday. Our condolences to Coach Coughlin and the entire family. He is an amazing guy, able to compartmentalize sort of things when there's things that happen off the field. I mean, I went up to his office on Monday. He was dealing with everything, and he was there late, you know, getting his work in. But, Harry, obviously the coach gets his team prepared regardless. Yeah. What are the keys in this game for you?
Well, I'm going to try to stay as broad as possible. I think this team just needs to excel in all three phases. I think offensively, they got to run the ball. Defensively, they got to put some pressure on the quarterback, and special teams has to step up. I mean, giving up a return like they did last week is inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, they give up a return. They give up a 22-yard return that gave Peyton Manning a short field. Yep. I mean, you can't do those kind of things, especially against a guy like Peyton Manning, and expect to win. Carl, your keys to this game?
Well, I'd say it starts up front, but it's no missed assignments from the offensive line. Get the run game going.
All right. Roman, your keys?
Well, it's no surprise, I think, and it's for me, it's ball control and it's turnovers. Winning the turnover battle, controlling the ball. You got a Carolina offense on the other side, 30th in league in passing, and they only have D'Angelo Williams, and that's all they're going to do. So you've got to expect to, when you have the ball, keep the ball away from them and obviously turnovers.
What do you guys think about it? You're going to a place where the head coach is under fire. The new general manager is Dave Gettleman, who used to be with the Giants. He didn't hire Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera and the Panthers have blown 10 fourth-quarter leads going back to the start of 2011. That's the most in the NFL. And both of their losses this year are blown leads. How important is it, Harry, to jump on these guys early? Because the fans there want the coach out. Swing that crowd around. Plus, there'll be a lot of Giants fans, as we saw there last year.
Bob, I really don't think it's about them. I think it's about the Giants going down, playing their game. Don't worry about what's happening with Carolina. Just play their game. Start quickly. Play the best that you can play. And whatever is going to happen will happen. Mm-hmm. But just focus on what you have to do. Don't worry about the crowd.
And throw a lot of doubt in their mind as well?
Well, when you have it's called a learned behavior. And they continue to blow leads. You know, they expect the next shoe to drop. You can't disappoint them if you're the Giants. That shoe has to drop.
Yeah, 100% the same thing. You've got to eliminate all doubt that this team can do all, that can do finish strong in the end. And when you know they've got a coach under fire, maybe there's lack of leadership, you've got to do your job to make sure that they still believe that they're not as good as they are.
All right, we're just about out of time. It's the Giants and the Carolina Panthers Sunday, 1 p.m. in Carolina. For Harry, Carl, Roman, our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. And make sure you check us out each and every week right here on MSG. Here's a look at the schedule of Giants first and 10. Obviously, we kick things off every Friday night here on MSG and take you through the weekend. Next week, it's the Giants and the Kansas City Chiefs. For our entire crew, we'll see you next week right here on MSG for Giants first and 10.